بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is the Shahar of Arif Billah Hazrat Yaqtas Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Afsar Sahib Nawar Allah Malqadahu. The title is نفس دشمن ہے دشمن کو ناشاد کر. اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فر یاد کر. اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فن یاد کر. دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر. دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر. روح کو نور تقوا سے تو شاد کر. روح کو نور تقوا سے تو شاد کر. نفس دشمن ہے دشمن کو ناشاد کر. نفس دشمن ہے دشمن کو ناشاد کر. دل کو نور خدا سے تو آباد کر. دل کو نور خدا سے تو آباد کر. اور گناہوں کی خواہش کو برباد کر. اور گناہوں کی خواہش کو برباد کر. حمد سے اس زبان کو تو حمد کر. حمد سے اس زبان کو تو حمد کر. سر کو چوکھٹ پہ ان کی تو سجاد کر. سر کو چوکھٹ پہ ان کی تو سجاد کر. قلب جا کو تو اس جن پہ آباد کر. قلب جا کو تو اس جن پہ آباد کر. اور سکون دلو کو خلاد کر. اور سکون دلو جا کو خلاد کر. اپنی خوشیوں کو اختر تو برباد کر. اپنی خوشیوں
کر تو برباد کر اپنے رب کی خوشی سے دل آباد کر اپنے رب کی خوشی سے دل آباد کر اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر دل کو سجا دے میں رو رو کے آباد کر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. This is the poem of Hazrat Mana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawwar Allah Ma Qadahu. Hazrat Mana was a ardent lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's describing the moments in seclusion and how you draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll try to give a literal translation. Allah Ta'ala make the reality inshallah in our lives, in each one of us. May Allah Ta'ala make each one of us experience the reality of these words inshallah. And when I started, then one thought came to my mind, and I'll talk of it later. It's a season of winter. And what is winter there for us? In the closing inshallah we'll talk more about it. But just keep this thought in the mind that it's a season of winter. And why is winter there? Are we worried about the cold? Or is there a more bigger reason why Allah Ta'ala blessed us with the season of winter? So Zavana is mentioning that in the dead of night, it can refer to throughout your life, but specifically in the dead of night, take out time to be alone in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Here also one point came to mind, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسُ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ, that Allah Ta'ala is mentioning that when you wake up in the middle of the night, sometimes not even your spouse that is next to you knew that you spent time with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that you were so secretive that in doing your actions. So what I have in store for you also is a secret. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانْ يُعْمَلُونَ, that what you used to do used to be a secret. فَلَا تَعْلَمْ نَفْسُ, no one knows what I got in store for you. So, one is to take out time just to be alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you're alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what to do? Hazrat Mana is mentioning that one is you put your head in sajda. And one is you put your heart in sajda. To say that, oh Allah, now my heart is subservient to all your commands. Whatever command you put on top of me, O Allah, from the bottom of my heart, I'm going to try my best to fulfill each command of yours. Then Hazrat Mana is mentioning that when you do this, then what's going to happen? From the inside of your heart, taqwa is going to come out. From what we'll say, from your soul itself now, taqwa will shine out. And then Hazrat Mana is mentioning that understand well that your nafs at the end of the day is an enemy of yours. Inna nafs la ammaratun bisun. Your nafs is always going to tempt you to do evil. Your nafs initially tell you reach the stage of anayat. Allah Ta'ala make it such that we all reach the stage. But initially your nafs is always going to direct you to do wrong. So Hazrat Mana is mentioning that take your nafs as a enemy. And don't make your enemy happy. So one point where Mana is indicating here is, now in the dead of the night, when it's ice cold to wake up from the bed, your nafs is saying, no, just stay in the bed. Stay in the bed. So go against your nafs. Don't make your nafs happy. Come out of your bed and spend time in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a bigger meaning can be when you're tempted to do sin, then don't make your nafs happy. Go against your nafs and make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. And Hazrat Mana is mentioning that when you go against your nafs, then what's happening? You're making Allah ta'ala happy. Now you're making ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
making ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what happens? That the desire of sin now starts leaving you now. When you start getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically the desire of sin leaves you. An indication where Hazrat Mawlana mentioned about bringing the, or he's going to mention about bringing the light, the nur of taqwa in your heart, then obviously whenever there's darkness in any place, then you don't fight the darkness. Hazrat Mawlana mentioned to us time and time again, all you have to do is light one match, light one candle, and automatically all the darkness disappears. Where it went to in split seconds, there's no more any darkness. So when there is the darkness of sin in the heart, don't fight the darkness. All you do is now you start bringing the nur of taqwa in your heart. And when you bring the nur, automatically the darkness will go. Wait, when you won't even know, but the darkness just escapes from there. And Hazrat Mawlana is saying that one of the ways now to get this nur of taqwa in your heart, one was to wake up and to spend time in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another means is to keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here we can take it in two ways. One is, in Arabic they say that kullu ina'in yatruhu bima fihi, that whatever a utensil has inside, and if that utensil has to be spilled, or it has to tilt a little bit, then whatever is inside that utensil is going to fall out. So if you have taqwa in your heart, then automatically the hamd and the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be on your tongue. So Hazrat Mawlana is saying that if you don't have the taqwa in your heart as yet, then start making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the taqwa will come. And if you have the taqwa in your heart, then automatically the praises will come. You can take it both ways. That if you, Allah ta'ala granted you the tawfiq to remember Him, then know well that you do have taqwa in your heart. But we don't take it that, no, I got taqwa, that's why I'm making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But oh Allah, my heart is so dirty, my heart is full of blackness. Oh Allah, by me taking your name, then the nur of taqwa will come into my heart. Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq. And Allah is mentioning that one is now you put your, we said you focus your heart to say, oh Allah, I accept all your commands. And one is now literally you put your head on the ground. And you say, oh Allah, that now I'm putting my head down. My head is to show the most blessed part of my body. I'm putting it as a sacrifice in front of you. Oh Allah, I'm putting my head at your threshold. Why? Oh Allah, because I want to be in sajda. And one of the reasons of sajda is, or one of the understandings of sajda that we are taught, that you are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when your head is in sajda. You might feel that I'm in the lowest part of the earth, but you are in close proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this time. So Hazrat Mawlana is saying that with your tongue, mention the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With your lungs, with your body, now put that also in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat Mawlana is saying that put your heart and your soul and become a subservient to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do this, then the eternal happiness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll be blessed with. But you'll have such a tranquility in your heart that nobody will understand. You might be in the midst of everything, but your heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what you're going through, what it looks like outside, your heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll be in this eternal bliss. And then Hazrat Mawlana is mentioning that the sum of this whole poem is forget whatever is your happiness and make one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. If you make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy, your dunya and your akhirah, this world and the year after is sorted out for you. So the man is saying that whatever you desire, let it go. And just focus that, oh Allah, whatever you want me to do, I'm ready to do it. Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq. So the opening line was, or the opening question is, what is there for us to benefit from the season of winter? The nights are longer, yes, it's cold. But the pious will say that the night is gone longer, I got more time to spend in front of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala grant me first the tawfiq and then everybody else the ability to take benefit of these opportunities that Allah ta'ala gives us to get closer to Him. Hazrat Mawlana always mentioned a few weeks ago, in Allah Ta'ala has these moments where He gives you to get close to Him. One of this is now this entire season of winter, where you have an early Isha exam, or early night, your night starts early, and it ends off late. You have a, you know, in summer we'll say that you have a short period. You just, Isha, you go sleep and you wake up. Here in winter you can sleep and sleep and the night doesn't finish. So when your sleep finishes and you wake up, then you wake up from there and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have this special moment that, oh Allah, I want to be alone with you. Allah ta'ala grant me first tawfiq and then everybody else.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'd. From the kitab Hayatul Muslimin, we had learned last the section on Salat, performance of Salat. The next chapter, Hazrat Anwar Rahmatullah Alayhi writes, is the erection of Masajid. This section deals with the construction, caring, repairing, and maintenance of Masjids. The rights of the Masjid are also discussed in this chapter. Among the rights of the Masjid are performing Salat in the Masjid, establishing performance of Salat in Jamaat, cleaning and maintaining the Masjid in good condition, visiting the Masjid in abundance, respecting and revering the Masjid. Some ayat of the Quran Kareem and a hadith in this regard will now be narrated. Allah Ta'ala states, who is more unjust than the one who prevents others from the dhikr of Allah in the Masajid, and who prevents others from visiting the Masajid, that is for purposes of ibadat, and who is more unjust than the one who strives to ruin the Masajid. Another ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in reality, construction and maintaining the Masajid of Allah Ta'ala are the duties of only those who believe in Allah in the last day, who establish regular salat, who pay zakat, and who fear none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such people shall attain their goal, which is Jannat and salvation in the year after. This ayat conveys the glad tidings of Jannat and salvation for those who erect, administer and maintain the Masajid. Another ayat Allah Ta'ala says, they, that is the people of Hidayat, are in such places for purposes of worship, in regard to which Allah has ordered respect. In these places the name of Allah is remembered. The places referred to in this ayat refer to the Masajid. The way of respecting the Masajid is explained in the hadith which appears here under. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you observe any person concerning himself for the Masjid, then bear witness that he is a believer. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, only those who believe in Allah the last day, perform salat, pay zakat, and fear none besides Allah Ta'ala, they erect and maintain the Masjid of Allah Ta'ala. What does it mean? Performing salat in the Masjid, visiting the Masjid in abundance, cleaning the Masjid, maintaining the Masjid, etc., all come within the scope of this hadith. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever erects a Masjid purely for the sake of gaining Allah's pleasure, Allah will erect for him a mansion in Jannat. Whoever erects a Masjid purely for the sake of gaining Allah's pleasure, Allah will erect for him a mansion in Jannah. Sincerity of intention is conditional for the obtaining of the thawab. This promise of reward applies to the erection of new masjids as well as to the repair and renovation of existing masajid. This is clear from the fact that Uthman radiallahu anhu narrated this hadith on the occasion of renovating Masjid al-Nabawi. Other hadiths too confirm that this great reward is even for those who assist in the construction of the masjid, no matter how small their contribution may be. Allah Ta'ala rewards on the basis of the sincerity of one's intention. It is narrated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself carried bricks on the occasion of the construction of Masjid al-Nabawi. In the hadith it is stated that no matter how small one's contribution may be towards the construction of the Masjid, in place of that Allah will erect a mansion in Jannat for this contribution. Another hadith also similar, whoever erects a Masjid for Allah Ta'ala with sincerity, Allah Ta'ala will erect for him a mansion in Jannat far greater than the Masjid. The quality and size of the palace which Allah will bestow on the person contributing towards the erection of a masjid will be according to one's sincerity. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Ta'ala will erect a palace of pearls and emeralds in Jannat for one who erects with halal money a house for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sanctity of the masjid demands that only lawful and wholesome wealth and materials be used in the erection. Lawful in this context applies to all things which goes into the erection of the masjid. Nothing haram should be employed in the masjid. In some places, especially rural areas, people build masjids on lands which belong to others. When the owner objects, the builders of the masjid take offense and brand him as being anti-Muslim. If the owner happens to be a non-Muslim, the builders of the masjid consider it a great act of thawab in confronting him and refusing to hand over his land. When the owner happens to be a non-Muslim, the wrongful Muslim is responsible for the structure, consider their dispute against the non-Muslim landlord as a conflict between kufr and Islam. This attitude of a Muslim is unjust and sinful. Remember well that the structure reared on the land of a person without his consent is not a masjid. The Sharia does not accept such a building erected on usurped ground as a masjid. Hazrat Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu narrates, there was an African woman who used to sweep the masjid. One night she passed away. In the morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed of her death. He said, why did you not inform me? He then, accompanied by the Sahaba, went to her grave and recited takbir there. That is, he made dua for her. In one narration, it is said that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked the woman, that is the dead woman who was buried, this was a miracle of Nabi alayhi salam, which act did you discover to be of great significance? She replied, sweeping the masjid. This hadith indicates the great significance of caring for the masjid. Even the simple task of sweeping the masjid was an act honored greatly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The importance and significance of this act of sweeping, rendered by the little known and forlorn lady, was such that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam voiced his displeasure at not being informed immediately of her death. Her service of sweeping the masjid was so noble that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went specially with a group of sahaba to her grave. Allah ta'ala regards, and Nabi alayhi salam regard, the service of sweeping the masjid most highly. But alas, nowadays people consider this task lowly and below their dignity. And even a small thing, if a person removes, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, removing dust particles and waste from the masjid is the meher, the dowry, of large-eyed damsels of Jannah. One had the hadith, Nabi alayhi salam said, whoever removes from the masjid any offensive item, Allah Ta'ala will in return erect for him a palace in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal.